mighty God, my Jesus is. Oh, what a mighty God, I know He is. All of heaven and earth adore Him. His
to be in church. Good to see everybody relaxed tonight. No, Brother Furman did not forget to change or get off work late, although I do clock out about 15 minutes before service starts on Wednesday night. So if you ever think about it, you can pray for me because I make a quick run over here. But sometimes I might get tired of dressing up and get tired of this and that, but I never get tired of the presence of the Lord meeting us here. You guys are a big part of that. Your prayers and it, like Brother Nathan said, don't leave it all up here. And I'm the least of these, but it's a privilege and honor to be here with you guys tonight. Amen. God bless you.
Oh, where do I go? Oh, when there's no one else to turn. Oh, who do I turn to? When nobody wants to listen, oh, who do I lean? When there's no foundation stable, I go to the rock, I know He's able. I go to the rock, I go to the rock of my salvation. I go to the stone that the builders rejected. I run to the mountain and the mountain stands by me. When the earth all around is sinking sand, on Christ that solid rock I stand. When I need a shelter, when I need a friend, I go to the rock. Oh, where do I hide until the storms have all passed over? Who do I run to when the winds of of sorrow threaten? Is there a refuge in the time of tribulation? When my soul needs consolation, I go to the rock. I go to the rock of my salvation. I go to the stone that the builders rejected. I run to the mountain and the mountain stands by me. When the earth all around is sinking sand, on Christ that solid rock I stand. When I need a shelter, when I need a friend, I go. Turn to when nobody wants to listen, who do I lean on? When there's no foundation stable, I go to the rock. I know he's able. I go to the rock. Well, I go to the rock of my salvation, go to the stone that the builders rejected. I run to the Why don't we stand and sing it to him tonight? I run to when the winds of sorrow threaten. Is there a refuge in the time when my soul needs consolation? I go to the rock. Oh, I go to the rock of my salvation, to the stone that the builders rejected. I run into the mountain and to him again. Oh, I go to the rock of my salvation, to the stone that the builders rejected. I run to the mountain and the mountain stands by me. When the earth all around is sinking sand, on Christ that solid rock I stand. When I need a shelter, I'll turn around and shake somebody's hand. Welcome them to the service tonight. This way, where do I hide?
Oh, till my storms have all passed over, who do I run to? Oh, when the winds of sorrow threaten, is there a refuge? Oh, in these times of tribulation, when my soul needs consolation, I go to the rock. Oh, I go to the rock of my salvation, to the stone that the builders rejected. I run into the mountain, and the mountain stands by me. Together. Oh, I go to the rock of my salvation, to the mountain, and the mountain stands by me. Oh, when the earth all around is sinking sand, on Christ that solid rock I stand. When I need a shelter, when I need a friend, I go to the rock.
Praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise tonight. Hallelujah. Well, I just have to say, if this is how you're going to worship when we dress down, then we may just have to do this every Wednesday night. Amen. We got a few announcements we want to make this evening, and if anybody slipped in and didn't know what we were doing tonight, we're having what we call a humble night, where we dress down a little bit for a Wednesday night service. We do it sometimes about once a year, but we'll be having a youth Bible study here tomorrow night from 7:30 to 9:30. Brother Trevor will be speaking at that, so we'll be looking forward to that. And we've got several testimonies we want to share with you. Sister Stephanie Duvall, her brother-in-law, his knee surgery was successful, so we're going to praise the Lord for that. And then Brother Tim Pruitt's nephew's wife, who is also a relative of Sister Tina through her stepmother, the doctors had given her up because cancer had spread throughout her body. But they've been praying for her and doing different things, and the doctors ran other tests this week and found out that the cancer is completely gone. So we want to praise the Lord for that. Amen. Amen. We serve a mighty God, as they were singing earlier. And when I saw the before and after pictures, Brother David, I was thinking about your dad. That, amen, if he can do it for her, he can do it for Brother Mike. So, amen, we're believing that. I got a testimony that I want to read you here. It says, it's from Sister Courtney Vaughn. It says, I've wanted to send you a formal thank you for all you've done for me and my family over the past year. I never told you how your prayers, your presence, and the beautiful flowers from my mom, for my mom's funeral meant to me. With all my heart, I give thanks to God for you. This past Friday, February the 16th, I had to meet with the judge for the first time in regards to my mom's estate. I'm the executor of her estate, and the judge requested a meeting before he would close the estate. I was very nervous about this and asked for prayer. The response that comforted my heart was when someone told me that they had prayed that God would go before me. I'm so very thankful for my brothers and sisters. They have regularly held a prayer shield over me this past year. My prayer was to find favor with the judge, that he wouldn't find any mistakes, and he would be moved to close mom's estate. Well, on the day of, my husband and I took off for the New Albany Court Building, leaving early enough to arrive 10 minutes early. We made it to Sellersburg when all of a sudden Chad throws his phone at me and says, "Quick, I don't know where I'm going, pull it up." I tried to MapQuest it, but it wouldn't work for some reason. What was the big deal? I asked. We're going to New Albany. Then for some reason he took the 65 North ramp. Instead of being 10 minutes early, we were going to be 5 minutes late. I was furious. Why, oh, why had he taken that ramp? We never take 65 North. I couldn't understand. I had prayed, and others had prayed, for God to go before me. Why would he make such a mistake? We arrived at the court building just a few minutes late. I rushed in to find that the elevator was taking forever. When I finally was able to load onto it, more and more people kept coming on. They kept holding the door open for even more people. On the way up, it stopped at every floor for the same thing. I was very annoyed, but everyone seemed very happy. There was one man in particular who seemed to know everyone. When I reached the top floor, we all exited into confusion. The hallway was packed with people overflowing from the courtroom. I was almost 10 minutes late now. I didn't know where I was going. I turned to see the man who knew everyone from the elevator. We made eye contact, and I asked him to help me. I told him I was looking for Judge Cody. He gave me a funny look and told me he was in the opposite direction. He pointed me to a different courtroom, but then he said, "But he's back here." I realized he was taking me to meet the judge in his office. I said, "Oh, no, I'll wait in the courtroom." I walked into the courtroom, and the judge wasn't there yet. All that stress for nothing. God truly had gone before me and delayed the start of the meeting. Then my mom's brother-in-law walked up to me to shake my hand. It really upset me because the only reason he was there was to see how much money my mom's estate was going to be paying him. I started to cry and had to focus on not having a meltdown right there. The command came, "All rise for Judge Cody." As I stood and looked forward, I once again made eye contact with the man who knew everyone in the elevator. He was Judge Cody. I started laughing, and he smiled at me. Everything went fine. The estate was given the okay to close and write the final checks, but the last message God gave me was so precious, he reminded me once again that he will go before me. He will never leave me. Amen. God's wonderful, isn't he? Amen. Sometimes even what looks like a mistake, God is working right in the middle of it to get us right where he wants us at a certain time. And my, God knows what he's doing. He's got it in control tonight. Amen. Whatever you're facing, he has it under control. And we got several prayer requests. Brother David and Sister Jeannie Hoover, they're traveling home tomorrow. Brother Trevor's going to be leaving us again Sunday morning to preach for Brother Luis in Lexington. So Brother Luis had a back surgery, so he's helping him out until he recovers. So want to remember him in prayer for Traveling Mercies and for the services there, and that he'll hopefully be able to make it back in time for Sunday night service to be with us. And little Emma Harambasic, she requested prayer for her PE teacher whose hand is broken, so we want to remember that request in prayer. Sister Joy Duval's surgery went well on Monday, but she needs prayer because there's a large wound from that surgery, and we just want to remember her in prayer that the Lord will heal that. And Sister Julie Tharp, her surgery was rescheduled for tomorrow, so I want to remember her in prayer. And Sister Patty Hansel contacted us today and said she had some tests ran, and the results show that she has elevated amylase levels that her doctor is concerned about and wants to do additional tests. So want to remember that situation in prayer. Brother Furman's cousin, or his cousin's husband that we had prayed for Sunday night, that the wood beam had fallen on his head while he was building a pole barn. He's still sedated, and one of his lungs had collapsed during the accident. And the lung is better, but he has pneumonia from that, so we want to continue to lift him up in prayer. And Brother John Erickson was injured really badly yesterday when a piece of wood was thrown from a table saw and hit him in the head, and it cracked his skull pretty badly on one side, but the surgeon was able to take the shattered bone out and put in a titanium patch today. But just want to remember him in prayer just for a complete recovery. And many of you have probably already heard, but Brother Billy Graham passed away today. He was 99 years old. And so we want to remember his family in prayer, and we know what Brother Branham said about him and Oral Roberts, and now with both of them being gone, you know, the messengers to Sodom had to leave before the fire could fall, but we also know that the bride has to leave first as well. So, but we want to just remember his family during this time and what a great impact he had for the kingdom of God. And as far as I know, he's probably preached to more people numerically than anybody else that's ever lived. So we certainly appreciated all his efforts for the kingdom of God. But how many of you have an unspoken prayer request you'd like to bring the Lord with uplifted hand? Amen. I know the Lord sees each one. I don't know what Brother Trevor's shirt says, so I don't know whether I should invite him up or not. But would you come up and pray for us, brother? Looks like code to me, but I don't know. But Brother Joshua can probably translate it for you.
He said, wear something you'd go to work in. So I wore techie shirts, even though I actually don't work in techie shirts. But I got up this morning and I dressed in my normal Wednesday way so that I would be, you know, could just transition from work to church and just throw on a jacket. And then my wife said, it's humble night. I was like, could have dressed down for work today, but I was already dressed. So I just went to work and my button up and my khakis. But anyway, it's good to be here tonight. And well, there's many serious requests, but let's just take them before an almighty God. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're grateful. Lord, I want to thank you for beautiful church that we can just come and get together with, Lord. When I say that, Lord, I don't mean the building, but Lord, I mean the people. That there's people that love one another. Surely there's differences, and there's maybe even times people get annoyed with one another, Father, but we realize that this is the bride of Jesus Christ that we're gathering together with, Lord. And Lord, even when someone from another church in this area gets hurt, like our brother John Erickson, but yet, Lord, we know that we just gather together in prayer and pray the prayer of faith, Lord, because, Father, it's those among this message that are the bride of Jesus Christ. And so our hearts grieve with them, and I know our sister, Brother John's wife, Sister Daniela, is no doubt very scared. And Lord, we just pray that you'd strengthen them, help them, Lord. Father, for the different requests for Furman's cousin there, Lord, strengthen the lung and take away the pneumonia, Lord. Lord, for all those that are sick, all those that are needy, even our school teacher friend there, Sister Emma's, Lord, I pray that you heal the hand and be with their family, Lord. And Lord, we just want to give all these requests that were read to you, all these requests that are on the hearts of the people tonight, Lord, we just give them to you, Father. And Lord, forgive us of our many failings, our backslidings, our mistakes, Lord Jesus. Father, we're so thankful that your blood keeps us clean. Oh, we're so needy of it, Lord, and we thank you, Father. Lord, as you went before Sister Courtney, now go before us in this service, Lord Jesus. Let your spirit come and dwell amongst us and inhabit the praises of your people. And then, Lord, come and speak to our hearts, Father. Lord, we're looking forward to hearing from you this service, Lord. May you have complete control in every way. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. At this time, I believe Brother Nathan has a song for us.
And you helped me sing this tonight. I've sang it before, so you might know some of the words by now, but Sister Stephanie's going to help me tonight. I appreciate her and the musicians, and good to be here tonight. He was more than a fire.
Than a man.
Sure like that song. I hope we get to hear it again. It's got a great meaning. If the brothers would please come at this time.
Oh, give me oil in my lamp, keep me. Oh, give me oil in my lamp, I pray. Oh, give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Keep me burning till the break of day. Oh, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King of Kings. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King. Oh, give me oil in my lamp. Keep me burning. Give me oil in my lamp, I pray. Oh, give me oil in my lamp. Keep me burning. Keep me burning till the break of day. Oh, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King of Kings. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King. Oh, give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Give me oil in my lamp, I pray. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Keep me burning till the break of day. Messiah, he's the King of Kings. Messiah, he's the Lord of Lords. Messiah, he's the King of Kings. My Messiah is the Lord of Lords. He's the King.
We stand and sing it.
Messiah is the Lord of Lords,
King of Kings. Messiah is the Lord.
and Satan, your kingdom's coming down. Well, I said, Satan, your kingdom's coming down. Oh, for I heard a voice up in heaven say, oh, Satan, your kingdom's coming down. Well, I said, Satan, we're gonna shout your kingdom down. Oh, listen, Satan, we're gonna shout your kingdom down. Oh, for I heard a voice up in heaven say, oh, Satan, your kingdom's coming down. Oh, now, Satan, we're gonna preach your kingdom down. Now, listen, Satan, we're gonna preach your kingdom down. For I heard a voice up in heaven say, oh, Satan, your kingdom's coming down. Oh, let's sing it tonight. Oh, Satan. Tonight, let's sing it this way. Oh, listen, Satan, we're gonna live your kingdom down. Oh, listen, Satan, we're gonna live your kingdom down. For I heard a voice up in heaven say, oh, Satan, your kingdom's coming down. Oh, yes, Satan, your kingdom's coming down. Blue devil. Satan, your kingdom's coming down. I heard a voice, heaven say, oh, Satan, your kingdom's coming down. Amen and amen. God bless you richly tonight. And Brother Branham said in one place, he said, oh, how we need in Jeffersonville thousands of lived voices. He said, that's the thunder that shakes the devil's kingdom. Amen. We find that every kingdom, I don't care what nation it is, whether it's a politician, whether it's a corporation, whatever it would be, every kingdom, it will be shaken down, except we have a heavenly kingdom, that heavens and earth will pass away, but he said, my word will never pass away. Amen. God bless you. You don't even have to turn tonight if you don't want to. We can all probably quote it by memory. I just want to refer one verse to you before we enter the service tonight. Hebrews chapter 13 and 8. Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. He's not limited by time. He's not limited by space. Anytime, any place, anywhere. Brother Branham said that God, you can use his word to defeat the enemy. Anytime, any place, anywhere, under any conditions, he's the same Jesus Christ. The one that he was yesterday, he's the same today. And the one that he is today, we don't have to fear. He'll be the same one tomorrow. We change, opinions change, ideas change. But the word of God and Jesus Christ never change. Amen. Let's bow our heads together tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we approach your throne again tonight, just ask that you take complete control of this service. Lord, we come expecting tonight, Lord. We come, Lord, with joy in our heart just to worship you and to come together, even though the weather is bad on the outside. We thank you for a place where we can gather together with a roof over our heads, Lord, and to be inside where we can come together and spend some time, Lord, just to set aside and focus on you and on your word. Lord, I ask that you would just quicken your word to us tonight, Lord. I ask that you would move on the scene for these prayer requests that have gone forth, the ones that were spoken, the ones that were made known by the uplifting of hands. Father, you know about each one. And Lord, as we've received testimonies of the things that you've been doing, Lord, the last weeks, Lord, to see how that you've been moving and touching lives and encouraging and healing and changing circumstances for people, Lord, it gives us hope and courage to recognize that what you did for somebody else, you can do for us, Father. We recognize tonight that you're not a respecter of persons, Lord, and so that if we'll just take you at your word, that you're obligated to back up your word. Yeah. We love you tonight, Father. We commit the entire service into your hands. We thank you for the songs that have been sang, Lord, for the ones that have come to be out on a night like tonight. Lord, we just ask that you'd be with them and bless them and protect them on their ways home. Lord, may you just take control and take charge of every word that is spoken, everything that's said, every song that's sang. Lord, may it be pleasing to you. May it be for your glory and for our good, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the church said, amen. God bless you. You can be seated tonight. Good to have each and every one of you with us tonight. And amen. I don't know what the Lord has for us, but I believe he has something for us. I don't believe that we come together just in vain. Brother Branham said that this word that we believe, it's not in vain, that we don't go after cunning devised fables, but that we recognize that God has a plan, he has a purpose, he has a reason for us to be here tonight. So we can never really tell exactly how he's going to move or what he's going to do or what he has planned, but we come with expectations knowing that if he met us before, he'll meet us again. And when looking at this thought tonight, we're still on this series on the Pharisees of how to find a Pharisee, but I want to look at this thought primarily the theme of Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. It was the theme of Brother Branham's entire ministry on his letterheads and his business cards and all of his literature. He always had Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he proved to us through God using him, that was absolutely the case. Many had tried to put God back in history, say that the days of miracles were past, this was from some other day, that was for some other day, and they left him back there in history as a Jesus Christ of yesterday. But God sent a ministry in this age for us to recognize that he was not just a God of yesterday, but he's still the same God today, present tense with us. Jesus begins to tell them in John chapter 8, verse 38, he said, I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. Now he's speaking to the Pharisees and he's describing the difference between his ministry and between their lives. And he's explaining to them why it is. And he says, I'm just doing that. I'm speaking that. I'm living that. I'm working forth that which I have seen of my father. But you're doing that which you have seen of your father. Now most of us, you know, brothers, if you grow up and we're influenced for better or for worse by our parents. Brother Brandon talked about the man that, you know, the little boy was following him there home from the Christmas party, and he said he was trying to jump over here and jump over there and all over the place, and his daddy looked around and he said, what on earth are you doing? His daddy was coming home drunk from a Christmas party. He said, Daddy, I'm trying to follow in your footsteps. And so we recognize that our children, they're going to follow in our footsteps, you know, whether we make a good decision or a bad decision, most of the time. Of course, we know the Holy Spirit can come on the scene and change the situation. If you came from a bad influence or a bad home or whatever it would be, God can come on the scene and change it. But just in the natural, our natural way, our humanistic nature, it's usually to copy off of the way that our parents did. And you brothers, if you grew up watching your daddy shave, you probably shaved the same way that he did, because you were influenced by what you saw your father do. If he held his fork a certain way, or he worked on a car a certain way, or he stood a certain way, or walked a certain way, many times we pick up those characteristics because it's what we've seen our father do. But Jesus, speaking in the spiritual here, he says, I'm just doing what I've seen my father do, and you're doing what you've seen your father do. So he's trying to tell them they had two different fathers, and he wasn't talking about in the natural, but in the spiritual. He goes on, and they answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. And Jesus saith unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. Now, physically, genetically, they were Abraham's children, but Paul tells us that which is a Jew isn't just Jew of the fleshy part, but it's a spiritual thing that we recognize, that he's telling them, you can't be of the attributes of Abraham, or you would respond to the word in the same way that Abraham responded to the word. Genetically, truly, they were the seed of Abraham, but if they had really been the royal seed of Abraham in the spiritual sense, they would have recognized who he was, because when he came in another body walking down the sand there, or down the dusty road, and he meets him on the plains of Mamre there, and he begins to talk to him. Brother Benham said he was in a theophany. Who is this Melchizedek in 1965? He said Jesus, or Melchizedek rather, became Jesus. So Abraham recognized him for who he was. Abraham recognized him back there, and he sees three coming down the road, as we've been talking about tonight with the messengers to Sodom. He sees three walking down the road towards him, and he says, my Lord. Singular. Not a Trinitarian affair. My Lord. But then two of them leave and go down to Sodom and Gomorrah, and Lot sees two of them coming. He says, my Lord's, plural. So he didn't have the correct revelation of what was taking place in his age. But yet God, remember, it says when the two angels went down to Sodom, he said that God remembered Abraham. Didn't say he remembered Lot. But because Lot was associated with Abraham because he was part of his family, it said God remembered Abraham, and he sent two messengers down to Lot. Now, Abraham wasn't down there in Sodom, but there was something about it that he had a burden on his heart for his nephew Lot down there, and God was mindful enough of Abraham that he didn't just come to send a message to him, but he sends two more messengers down into Sodom to call his backslidden family members out of the perversion that they've got in there. And then many times, if we're not careful, we worry and stress, and, oh, will this one make it, or will that one make it? Brother Branham said the Philippian jailer, if he could have faith for his own salvation, he could have faith for his family's salvation. Amen. So God was mindful of Abraham, and he sends these two messengers down to Sodom to bring Lot and his family out. But yet we recognize that Abraham, you know, he was able to recognize who that this man was that was coming. It wasn't just somebody that was walking down the road and, you know, in a robe and that had come down from the road a few miles away from this city or that city. But God had stepped into a body and comes down and visits Abraham in the flesh, and he begins to eat of the bread and to drink of the milk and to sit there and talk with him. But he recognized something about this man's ministry that was more than just an ordinary man. Here the Pharisees claim to be the seed of Abraham, and yet this same man, not in a theophany but in a physical body, walks down their road and they failed to recognize it, and yet saying, we're the seed of Abraham. He said, impossible. If he was truly your father in the spiritual sense, then you would respond the same way to the word that he did. He said, you seek to kill me, but Abraham, when he saw me in my day, he didn't do that. He didn't have the same response. He goes on in St. John chapter 10, verse 37. He said, if I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though you believe not me, believe the works. If you can't believe me, you know, if you can't believe that I'm him, at least believe the works that I do. And they had to admit, they said, Nicodemus come, he said, good master, we know. Brother Branham said, who was that we? He said, it was the Pharisees. Said, we know that no man can do the works that you do unless God sent him. But yet they couldn't separate the two. They couldn't recognize how this man that was a carpenter's son in their mind could go and do these mighty works and disagree with their theology and disagree with their denomination. They couldn't reconcile it. And here they could see him walk down the road and get a headache and sit down by the side of a rock and think, how can that be the Son of God? That was the same thing that stumbled Judas. But yet there were others there that got a revelation that you're the Son of the living God. Amen. What was it? It wasn't just a genetic thing, but it was that God was granting revelation in the spiritual sense that there could be two from the same family sitting there, and one be the seed of Abraham and one not be. St. John chapter 14, verse 11. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. Now, this is a promise that Jesus said. Now, either we can just leave this to the side and ignore it, or we can take God at his word and recognize that it's the truth. He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Jesus, in his ministry here on earth, he was only actually performing miracles and things in the public eye for about 3.5 years, and then he went off the scene. But yet, we see come down through the church ages, all the generations that the Holy Spirit was moving through different men and different ministries and prophets and reformers and different ones down through the ages. He says, you're going to do greater because I've got to go to my Father. He said, if I stay here, then I can't send the Comforter. But if I go, then I won't leave you comfortless. I'll send you a Comforter. And he won't only dwell with you, he's going to dwell in you. He that believeth in me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works. Why? Because if we're of our Father, we'll do the works of our Father. He was of his Father, so he did the works of his Father. The Pharisees, he said, you're of your father, the devil. What was he doing? He was preaching serpent seed to him. He said, you're of your father, the devil, and the works that he did, that's what you'll do. He was a liar and the father of it. He was a murderer to begin with. He said, those attributes weren't back there in my father, but they were in your father, and you're doing the very works that he did. He was separating and identifying who they were by their works, by their fruits. He was showing what they were, because you'll do the works that your father did. Now, he said, if you believe on me, the works that I do, you'll do also. How? Because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hey man, if he can't do the same in this age that he did back there on the seas of Galilee, then Jesus changed somewhere. He lost some power somewhere. He got weaker somewhere. If he can't do the same thing in our age that he did back there. But he said, I'm going to go. But if you believe in me, then you'll do the works that I do and greater. Now, Brother Branham, down through the 50s, you'll hear him say many times, he'll say, now, this word greater, he said, it couldn't mean actually the way that we take it. It means more. It would be more, because there were more people, more individuals on the face of the earth where Jesus was one man. Now the Holy Spirit indwelled in thousands and thousands of people, and it was spreading out. So he said it was more works. But in Shalom in 1964, you'll hear him come around and he'll say, Jesus took and he multiplied creation. There was already a fish there. There was already bread there, and he broke it off and he duplicated creation. He took what was already created and he broke off and he multiplied it. But he said in our age where there was nothing, he said he spoke and squirrels came into existence. He said, there's your greater works. Amen. Why? Because he's still the same God. You say, well, Jesus just multiplied creation. No, let's go back further than the shores of Galilee. Jesus, in the very beginning, if you go to Colossians chapter 1, it said all things were created by him, and without him there wasn't anything that was made. In the very beginning, he spoke where there was nothing. There wasn't a timber. There wasn't a stone. There wasn't a piece of drywall. There wasn't a nail or a screw or a board. And he spoke where there was nothingness, where there was void and darkness. And the spoken word began to create and speak worlds and galaxies into existence. He's still that same God. He proved in this age he's still that same God. He can still speak like he did on the backside of the mountain there with Abraham. He proved that he was Jehovah Jireh when Abraham spoke, and Isaac getting a little concerned, he goes up the side of the hill. He said, well, here's the wood and here's the stones for the altar, and here's the fire and all that. He said, but where's the sacrifice? He said, God shall provide himself a sacrifice. He didn't say God shall provide a sacrifice for us, or God shall provide a sacrifice for himself. He said God shall provide himself a sacrifice. And he was paralleling what happened several thousand years later, when God did provide himself as a sacrifice for us. But when he was there as Jehovah Jireh, Brother Branham said he goes to pull that knife back to slay his son, and the angel stops his hand. As we looked at the two different camps on Sunday morning, the angel there stops his hand and says, don't do it, Abraham. You've proved that you love God. Don't do it. And as he stops his hand, he begins to hear a little blading over behind him in the wilderness there in the brushes somewhere, and a little ram caught in the thicket, and he goes and gets it. Brother Branham said, how'd it get there? Up above the timber line. Said it was spoken to existence one moment and died the next minute. People want to make fun of the squirrels and things on Facebook and different things. They just don't even know their scriptures. Either that, or they don't have the faith to believe that he's still Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's easy for us to look back and say, oh my, I believe in Jonah and the whale. Well, that takes an awful lot of faith if you really do. People want to pack their Bible around under their arm and say, oh, I believe Jonah and the whale. I believe Moses and the bulrushes. And I believe the pillar of fire came and showed himself to Moses and to St. Paul. But when you talk about it happening in this day, they don't have the faith to believe it. What is it? It's the same spirit that was on the Pharisees that could say, we have Moses to our father. We have Abraham to our father. They were constantly pointing backwards. But when Jesus would keep giving them infallible proofs, the dead being raised, the sick being healed, the demon possessed being delivered, infallible proof after infallible proof, and they would stand there and say, we have Moses to our father. We want a God of the past. We want a God of history. But he was proving it there. We don't have a picture of Moses with the pillar of fire. We don't have a picture of St. Paul with the pillar of fire. But we do have one with Brother Branham with the pillar of fire. I have more scientific proof of God in this age than we've ever had, and yet people still fail to recognize it. Still walk away and don't believe it. Why? Because they're of their father. And the works of their father they'll do. The works of Cain, the works of Esau, the works of the Pharisees and of Judas and on down through. You can trace it all down through the Bible, but there's another seed that you can trace all the way down through as well. A predestinated seed that it didn't matter how bad it looked. It didn't matter how many days that Moses or how many years that Noah rather built on the ark. Didn't matter how many days they sat there with the door shut. There was a predestinated seed of God that was going in for deliverance, but yet there was another group that stood outside the doors and made fun. Of course, until they saw the prophecies being fulfilled, and then they beat on the door, but it was too late. It's been the same in every age. We recognize that it's Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. People say, oh, I believe my Bible. They'll pack their Bible under their arm. I believe that story of Jonah and the whale. But, you know, Jonah and the whale, scientifically, is one of the hardest stories in the Bible to believe. Harder than almost anything in the Message. That a fish would be at the right place at the right time and swallow a man and go down into sub-degree temperatures with no oxygen for the man to breathe and be there 3 days and three nights in the freezing cold with no oxygen, no food, no water, and he could survive down there. And then not only that, but the fish would come up and you know, God had the original GPS, God's positioning satellite, and comes and delivers him right to the right place at the right time, and he steps out of the fish's mouth, and the people there happen to worship the fish, and so they recognized him as a prophet. And people walk away from the Message and say, it's too unscientific. I can't accept it. Well, if you'll be honest with yourself, you'll never be able to accept your Bible then. But it's because it's something off in some other day. They can say, oh, we believe that. But when you talk about a present tense Jesus, well, don't think that that spirit doesn't creep right around in the Message. And they can believe a God of 1947, and they can believe a God of 1965, but no offense to Brother Branham or his ministry. I think we all know by now that I respect it to the highest, but they didn't put Jesus Christ in the ground in 1965. The Holy Spirit didn't stop working and moving among people in 1965, but Jesus Christ is still alive today just as much as he ever was. Don't let that Pharisee spirit get on you that puts him way back somewhere in the days of Moses or the days of Paul or even back just in the days of Brother Branham 40 or 50 or 60 years ago. Don't let him put him off back there. He's present tense tonight for your needs. Satan would love to try to tell you that God has weakened a little bit, you know, because that St. Paul's not here or Moses isn't here or Noah's not here or Brother Branham's not here. Let me tell you, I appreciate those men and I appreciate their ministries, and some of their words have set people free for years and years and years just reading those men's word in the pages of their Bible or in the pages of the Message. But it was God working through those men, and he's just alive tonight as he ever was. He's unfailing, he's unchangeable, he's always the same. Jesus Christ the same, 1956. If the Spirit of Christ is in you, it'll certainly do the same works that Christ did. Remember, he tells the story. He said, now if I had the spirit of John Dillinger on me, he said, then I'd go around with guns and I'd rob people and shoot people because I had the spirit of John Dillinger. If I came tonight and told you I have the spirit of John Dillinger on me, that's what you would expect. He said, now if I had the spirit of Beethoven on me, you would expect me to sit down and compose wonderful music and things. If I had the spirit of Shakespeare on me, you would expect me to sit down and write great plays. And he said, if I came and told you I had their spirit on me, you would expect me to do the works that they did. So if we go around and say that we have the spirit of Christ, then we should be able to do the works that he did as well. We should live the same kind of life that he did, not a life to go out and say, look at me, what a great something I am. Look at my church, how much better and righter we are than everybody else. But he lived the life of a servant. Brother Branham said he'd get right down there in the dust with the sinners and try to help anybody that he could. And if you have the Spirit of Christ in you, it'll produce the same thing, the same works, the same actions, the same personality that it was in him. It'll express itself in the same way. Romans chapter 8 verse 11. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. Amen. I believe we can read our name in here tonight. That it doesn't have to just be, you know, Brother Bam tells the story about the man there that was dying. And he said, you know, could you read my name in there too? The little boy said, you know, my mama used to read my name in there. But he says, if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you personally. Now, this isn't a promise just for everybody. This isn't a promise just for every denomination and every group and for the heathen and the infidel and the rapist and the murderer and the infidel and all these out here. He says it's on a condition. If the Spirit of Christ, if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, then He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. In other words, if he raised up Christ, if the spirit in Christ, when they put him in the ground, it raised him up again, then if you have the same spirit in you, it's going to produce the same thing in your life. They may take you down here to Eastern Cemetery or to some, you know, some other cemetery down here and put your body in the ground, but if you've got the same spirit that quickened him and raised him up, then it'll produce the same thing in your body. If the spirit dwelleth in you. The works that he did will do the same works. The manifestations that he produced in his life, we should be able to see the same things in our life. We would see Jesus, 1959, he says, I think today we come to the church to find Jesus and we find our programs instead of the Spirit of Christ, see? He said if we want to... If we went to a peach orchard, we'd expect to find peaches. If we went to an apple orchard, we'd want to find apples. And we'd be strange to find pumpkins growing on an apple tree. But that's just about how we get it today. We say, well, our theology is this. We've been taught to believe this, but this is what's truth. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Then his spirit in the church moves with his church. His same spirit doing the same works, bringing Jesus to the world now. Just as he brought it in the form of bringing Christ to the world now. Just as he did in the Son, Christ Jesus, now we know God does not change. We want to always remember this, that we are finite and he's infinite. Now, if God ever makes a decision, ever called to make a decision, and God's decision being he's infinite, he has to continually stay with that decision. If God ever did anything down through history, any church age, any messenger that he sent, any group, any man that he sent, if God did it in one age, he's got to produce the same thing again in this age, or then God got smarter somewhere. God got better somewhere. God had a better plan somewhere. Now, you and I, we can go, and if time tarries and the Lord Jesus doesn't come and he waits another 10 years to come, hopefully in 10 years we'll all be a little smarter than we are now. We'll know a little bit more. We'll have studied the Bible a little bit more. We'll have learned a little bit more. We'll have grown a little bit spiritually, and we'll be better off down the road. But if 10 years goes by, God won't be any better than he is right now. He won't be any weaker than he is right now. He's always the same. So when God makes a decision down through the ages and he tells you to do something, when he spoke back there in the days of Paul and he said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, even the more as we see the day approaching, he can't change his mind and say, oh, sorry, that was just for the church age. I didn't mean that for down here in Laodicea. He can't change his mind about his word. He can't change his mind. He can't change his tactics. Now, he does change his methods sometimes. In the days of Noah, he came and delivered them by a boat, but Moses didn't come and in the days of Egypt and say, well, you know, we're going to get a big boat and sail down here through the Nile. He changed his method, but he didn't change his purpose. He didn't change his way of doing things. He still came through a prophet. Underneath that prophet, there was a group of people that followed that prophet. There were ministers, there were ministries, there were groups of people that came out under that prophet. And when God sets a pattern in the age, he always does it the same thing. Now, he may change the form of media that he uses. He may change the method that he uses, but he's never going to change his purpose. He always stays the same. A trial in 1964. And the devil takes his man, but never the spirit. The same spirit, religious spirit, exists right down like was on the Pharisees. Now we've looked and we've seen that if you have the spirit of God, then you're going to do the same works that God did down through all these generations, because that spirit indwelling with you, God takes his man, but never his spirit. So he's still anointing men in this age with the same spirit that he did back in other age. But the devil always copies and perverts God's program. So he does the same thing. The devil takes his man, but never his spirit. So these spirits, the same spirits that was on Jesus back there, the spirit of God, that spirit's still present in the earth today. The same spirit that was on the Pharisees and the Sadducees and Judas and all of them back there, still present today. The same spirit that was on Moses and Aaron and the different ones back there, it was still present today. But also there's a Dathan and a Korah and a Jannes and Jambres today. You can trace those spirits all the way down through the Bible. Brother Branham said, every time there's a revival, it always produces twins. It always has been. There's a spiritual twin that, you know, one is godly and one is evil. Because, and when I say evil, I don't mean they're not religious. I just mean they're not of the same spirit of God. Usually that other seed is very religious as well, but it won't come under obedience to the word. They'll come under obedience to a creed or an idea or a personality, but they won't come under obedience to the word unless through the seed of God. He says it's right here in Tucson, Arizona, just as unbelieving and just as creedy and traditional as that was, not only here in Tucson, it's world over. So he didn't limit it to just a geographic location, but he said those spirits are raging world over, that you will be able to see there's a Pharisee spirit and there's a real true spirit. There's a Judas spirit and there's a real true spirit. There's a Jannes and Jambres spirit, and there's a real true spirit. There's a Dathan and Korah spirit, and there's a real true spirit. It goes down through every age, not just to a geographic location, but he said world over. God testifying of his gifts, 1952, those spirits that was upon the Pharisees and upon the Sadducees and upon those people in the days, we realize that those spirits still are religious spirits, and they live in mankind today. All right? I think we've established that now, that those spirits, if it's the Spirit of God, just as he can look and say, I do the works of my Father, and he can look at the Pharisees and say, they did the works of their Father, that those spirits are still alive today. Now, Brother Branham says in trying to do God a service in 1965, Jesus read the same Bible that the Pharisees read. So it wasn't just the word that separated them in letter form. Moses here sits down and writes Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, Numbers, Genesis. He sits down, he begins to pen this. And here the Pharisees go walking with these scrolls under their arm saying, we have Moses to our father. We have Abraham to our father. And here comes Jesus, turns around and borrows the same scroll from the priest and identifies himself in the word. Here comes John the Baptist, turns around. They say, who are you? Are you Elias? Are you that prophet? Are you the Messiah? Who are you? And he identifies himself in the same scriptures. He didn't come with something different and say, look, we're going to go to the Book of the Mormon, or we're going to go to this or that or the other. He comes with the same books that they're packing, and he identifies himself, and he says, I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness. They said, oh, we can recognize that. We have that same verse too. But no doubt, just as there are in this age, there are many that sit there and said, now, John, what gives you the right to qualify yourself as the voice of one crying in the wilderness? How do we know that you are? Because he was doing the very works that Isaiah said he would do. Now, Jesus, now how can you identify yourself in the scripture? Who are you to say that you do this? Because he said, if you don't believe me, believe the very works that I do. If they can't believe Brother Branham to fulfill Malachi 4 and Luke 17:30 and Revelation 10:7, all these other scriptures, just look at the works that he did. Look at the ministry that he had. Look at the anointing that he had. The very works of his ministry proved who he was because it identified himself in the scripture. You say, oh, I don't believe that. Well, then bring me somebody that fulfilled it. They'll come up just so far behind, it'll be ridiculous. Just as if we would try to find, now we could look and we could try to force some other personality and claim to them to be Messiah. We could go back and we could look at different ones. We could take Spartacus and say, hey, they pierced his hands and his feet, so he must have been the Messiah. Well, he could have maybe fulfilled that one scripture, but look at the rest that it said about him coming out of Bethlehem and how that his own familiar friend would betray him and how much he would betray him for, and all these different scriptures. We'd find that other men that were crucified would come up short. We would find them missing and lacking somewhere because their life didn't fulfill every scripture that was promised of Messiah. But we can go to Jesus Christ of Nazareth and prove with infallible proof that he fulfilled every scripture that was promised of Messiah. Amen. I can take you and show you the scriptures that were promised of a prophet in this age and prove to you that William Branham fulfilled them, but people still walk off because it's the same spirit in this age. The same spirit that denies it. But here, Jesus comes packing the same Bible as the Pharisees. So it wasn't just the written word that separated them. I will restore, saith the Lord, 1954. It come into the Pharisees just as religious as they could be. They had everything fundamental, just as fundamental as Jesus Christ. Uh-oh, how are we going to differentiate between the two? Here they are worshiping the same, reading the same book, coming into even the same synagogue sometimes, Brother Jimmy. There would Jesus come on the day of a feast day, come right, walk right up into the same synagogue where the Pharisees were. And I would just like to say that he wasn't like a lot of so-called Christians and a lot of so-called message believers, that he was scared to go up to the synagogue and witness or testify because he was afraid he might be deceived by somebody up there. He wasn't afraid to walk right up to the same synagogue as them, walk in there and dispute the word with them and say, look, this is what the word said. He picked up the book and he began to read, and he turns back and hands it back to the priest. The very same Bible. Didn't say, give me a different version. Didn't say, you know, I'm coming out with something different. Reads from the very word of Moses that they're reading and hands it back. And here they are going through all the orders fundamentally, the same sacrifices that Moses said, all these things fundamentally. Brother Bram said, when Balaam was there, here there was two prophets. He didn't call Balaam a false prophet. He was just a fallen prophet. He wasn't a false prophet. He said prophecies that are still coming to pass today. He just sold out his gift for money was the difference between him and Moses. That and that Moses had a pillar of fire vindicating him and Balaam didn't. But Balaam stands there and begins to prophesy and tell forth and to speak things. And hear Moses doing the same thing. And both of them, prophecies coming to pass. And both of them, here there's a ram that they're sacrificing over here. Seven bullocks over here. Seven bullocks over there. Same kind of altar. Fundamentally, Brother Ram said they were exactly the same. How would you tell the difference? One had a vindicated message with a pillar of fire and signs following. Just as fundamental as Jesus Christ who come off of this tree. But when Jesus was there, he couldn't call a crowd like them Pharisees could. They could call 2 million Jews at any time. Jesus' little crowd run from 1,000 up to 5,000, something like that. Poor Galileans who heard him. But what was the difference? Both of them was reading from Isaiah. Both of them was reading from Jeremiah. But God vindicated Jesus Christ by signs and wonders. Both of them reading from the same scrolls. The priests get up and read from Isaiah. Jesus get up and read from Isaiah, but Jesus was fulfilling Isaiah. They were fulfilling the works of their father, and he was fulfilling the works of his father. Can you imagine how frustrating it must have been? You know, these priests, here they were wearing this Urim of Thummim that Aaron had. The breastplate with the 12 stones, with the 12 different colors of stone that represented the 12 tribes of Israel. And here, Caiaphas could walk with his priestly robes and garments on. He could walk with his chest out and wearing the very same breastplate, Brother Luke. Not a copy, not a replica, not something he got at the Dollar General for 50 cents that was just, you know, a something that was made off to look of it. Here he is wearing the very same stones that Moses wore around his neck. And he would walk out there into the courtyard and walk around with his chest out and his head back. I'm the high priest. But he'd walk back there into the tabernacle or into the temple and wonder, why aren't these lights flashing like they used to? Used to when there was a problem, we could go. I remember, you know, the different writings of the different priests from days gone by, and they said it did the exact same thing that it did in Aaron's age. But we don't see it reflecting anymore, the lights on the tablet. Why? Because the light had left the tablet and was in a little baby down in Bethlehem. They can stand there and say, oh my, I remember how that, you know, we wear these bells on when we go into the holiest of holies to walk around because Aaron had to do that and he had to walk a certain step and walk a certain way and do a certain movement to play holy, holy, holy unto the Lord because if he died back there in the presence of the Lord, they even had, I believe Brother Layton taught it about the tabernacle, if I remember right, he had a rope strapped around his leg. Where they, if he died in there, they could drag him out without having to go into the holiest of holies and die themselves. And they would listen to those bells to make sure the priest was still alive in there because the presence of God and that pillar of fire would come down at a certain time of year into the tabernacle there with them. And they could feel that presence and he'd walk in there holy, holy, holy unto the Lord. And the Pharisees had taught this priest and that high priest and that high priest and Caiaphas could still walk in there with his rope strapped to his ankle. Tinkle, 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 holy, holy, holy. But no presence, no pillar of fire. And he'd wonder, I've read all these writings of Isaiah and Jeremiah and different ones. How come he doesn't come down like he used to? Because he's not in there anymore in pillar of fire form, Caiaphas. He's walking out there with sandals on down your roads. And you're failing to recognize him. You're failing to identify him. But yet holding the same word, holding the same articles. But the Spirit wasn't on the stones anymore, nor was it just in a physical man-made tabernacle. But now it had went and dwelled the fullness of the Godhead bodily in a human being that they were rejecting. Oh my, blind Bartimaeus, 1955, those Pharisees read the same Bible that the apostles read. But they didn't have faith to put into practice what they read. Every denomination today reads the same Bible. But what I want to see, somebody's got faith enough that'll step out and take the word of it. Amen. Amen. That's what we need. Somebody to practice what they believe. Hey man, it's got to be more than just going through the motions of walking around with the bells on and a rope strapped to our ankle. You know, I'm just paraphrasing, saying, you know, using it as an example. It's got to be more than just a creed. It's got to be more than just a set of codes and a set of rules and just a physical dead letter. But it's got to be a life that is produced in individuals in this age. Here are the Pharisees packing the same scrolls. He said, here are these denominations out here packing the same Bible that you pack, calling it infallible, just like you call it infallible. But are they producing what it said? Let's bring it home a little further. A lot of people carrying the same conduct orders, seals, church age books, life stories that you're carrying. But I don't want to just be able to pack it around. I don't want to just go out here tonight and say, Brother Layton, get every book you got off the bookshelf. I'm going to stack them up and I want to carry the word of God. That's good. But if you can't put it into action, what good is it doing you? He said, I don't want to just find somebody that physically has the word. I want to find somebody that can take God at his word, that can believe his word, that God can produce his word through in this age. Earnestly contending for the faith, 1954. Look, when Jesus come, there was those Pharisees just as fundamental in belief as they could be. They believed the Messiah would come. Jesus preached the same gospel they preached. Oh my. Here they are preaching. There's a Messiah coming. And this is what Messiah is going to be. Brother Bram said, one place he said, no doubt. He said, as they were crucifying him out there on Calvary, they were maybe singing the Psalms in their sanctuary that day. They have pierced my hands and my feet. And here they are fulfilling it out there on the hill. And yet thinking they're holy and self-righteous and reading the same word and preaching the same gospel, saying, even Caiaphas has stood up and God, you know, it amazes me. People won't believe in God using the Holy Spirit and anybody in this age. They think, you know, it was all on the prophet or it's all on their pastor or somebody. But when it comes to a little housewife or a deacon or a trustee or some poor old preacher somewhere, they don't think God can work that way anymore. But I look back in the Old Testament and I see that God spoke through a prophet that sold his gift out for money and is still fulfilling his prophecies today. Not only that, but when he was going the wrong way, he spoke through a donkey to him. I think, goodness gracious, if he can use a donkey, Brother Jimmy, surely he can do something through me. I may not be able to do a lot, but surely he can do something. If he can speak through Caiaphas, who literally physically took and sold him out and crucified Jesus Christ, but yet he could speak and testify. You go back and read the Gospels and see if he didn't, and say, you don't know anything. Said, don't you know that there must be one given for a sacrifice for the people? And here he is prophesying the very thing that was supposed to take place of Messiah, speaking it forth and prophesying and preaching the same gospel that Jesus was preaching, and then turned it down and crucified it physically and literally. Today, Brother Branham said they crucify it in word form. Oh, that's for some other day. We don't believe that portion of the word. Paradox, 1964. They say, we got the word. The Pharisees said, we got the word. But the real true word, they was rejecting it. Physically, they had the word just as much as Jesus. Probably, if we'll be honest with ourselves, more so. No doubt the Pharisees, they probably had, you know, the entire catalog of scrolls there in the temple. And here Jesus, born in a poor birth as a carpenter's son, and he goes and He didn't have to have it all in letter form. He was the Word. He physically was the Word. And he sat down there, and here they had it cataloged and you know, beautiful ribbons tied on it, and they had it, they wore it on their sleeves. Remember we looked at how they would tie that on their sleeves, the different quotes and things that they would wear physically. And they would do all that, and a little 12-year-old boy sits down in the temple and begins to discuss the scriptures, and they say, where did he get this wisdom? How does he know this? He doesn't even have all the books and tapes that we've got. But there he was, the Holy Spirit working in him. You know, I've seen people in other countries maybe have a dozen, maybe have three dozen, maybe have 150 tapes in their language and more of the Holy Ghost in them than a lot of people around here that have 1,287 or whatever it is now that they found. So we find it's not a numerical thing. It's not how much you've read. It's not how much you've listened. Don't get me wrong. I believe in doing it. I believe in listening. I believe in reading. But if you don't get the Spirit inside of you, you're just as dead as the Pharisees was back there. Just a self-righteous, look at how many I've read, look at how many I've underlined, look at how many that I've listened to on my phone this week. That's good. Amen. That's wonderful. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing of the word. But if you don't have the Spirit to quicken it, all you're quickening is your intellect. But when the Spirit comes, somebody out here with the Holy Spirit, maybe in Africa, back in some area that maybe they've only got 10 tapes in their language, and the Holy Ghost come and quicken those 10 tapes to them, they're better off than somebody with 1,287 that sits there and says, well, we don't believe it exactly this way. My parents taught me that this is what we should believe now. You'd be better off to have 10 tapes and just believe all that he said on those. The Great Commission, 1958, the Pharisees had the word just the same as he had, the same word, but it's a spiritual revelation. It takes the Spirit to quicken it. There's a lot of people that have walked away and made fun of the message, had the same word that we had, but it's a spiritual revelation. God's only provided place of worship, 1965. He's talking about how he went to pray for a lady that was dying in a hospital. And he says, I went to pray some time ago in a hospital room. There was a lady laying there very sick, going under an operation. They expected her to die. Another lady laying there, I was called to pray for her, and I said to her, would you mind just a moment if I pray? And she said, pull that curtain. I said, I'm sorry. I said, I was just going to ask prayer. She said, pull that curtain. I said, yes, ma'am. Her and her little son sitting there, a regular Ricky look. And I said, well, aren't you a Christian? She said, we are Methodist. I said, well, I never asked you that. I asked you if you was a Christian, see? And so she said, pull that curtain, see, because somebody that wasn't a Methodist was going to offer prayer for a dying woman, which she was too. Here she is laying in one bed dying, and here this other woman is dying, and he comes in, anointed prophet of God, going to pray for this woman. She does, but you're not Methodist, you're not Pharisee, you're not Sadducee. Pull that curtain. Can you imagine? Her attitude could have changed this picture a whole lot. Here she is dying too, and help comes right by her way, and she rejected it just like the Pharisees did. See, because somebody that wasn't a Methodist was going to offer prayer for a dying woman, which she was too, but because it wasn't associated in her own organization, she didn't even want to hear it or have nothing to do with it. If that ain't a Pharisee, I never seen one. Oh, don't think they don't creep right around the message today. Don't think that it won't creep right around the message today. Church Age Book, page 330. Have you ever noticed how the people who lead others astray bind them closely to themselves by fear?
Come on.
They say that if the people don't do what they say, or if they leave, then destruction will follow. He's not just talking back in the days of the Pharisees and Sadducees. He's not just talking back in Moses' day with the Dathan and Korah. But let's bring it right down into this age. When you know there's message churches that teach this very same thing he's talking about, they bind the people with fear. Oh, you know you got the Holy Ghost at our church. Don't you ever leave here. Oh, if you ever leave here, there's no way you could be saved. There's no way you could go to heaven. What are they trying to do? Binding the people with fear. It's a selfish motive. What did we talk about last Wednesday night or a couple Wednesday nights ago? I hope 300 people come in tonight off the street and get saved and go find them a church somewhere else. That'd be wonderful. I'd say praise God. But when we get a selfish motive, it's, oh, wait a minute now. Don't you remember, Brother Jimmy, don't you remember you got saved down at this altar? Now you gotta go here the rest of your life because you got saved down at the altar. Look, it wasn't them that saved them. It wasn't me that saved them. It wasn't nobody else that saved them. It was Jesus Christ that saved them. We got people around the message now confused. Oh, Brother Nathan, Brother so-and-so married me. I received the Holy Ghost at Brother so-and-so's meeting. I got saved at Brother so-and-so's meeting. Brother so-and-so baptized me. Now they're not even serving the Lord, or now they've left the message. Was I really saved? Did I really get the Holy Ghost? Should I get me and my wife renew our vows, or should I get rebaptized? It wasn't that man. You didn't marry him, did you? He didn't give you the Holy Ghost. Brother Ram said you can put a puppy dog on an egg and the atmosphere, the heat, the warmth of it, it'll hatch it out. That'll make that puppy dog an eagle. You can set him on an eagle egg and the warmth of it'll hatch it out, but that'll make it an eagle. Go back and listen to Anointed Ones at the End Time. There's a lot of people that was truly anointed and God doing signs and wonders and miracles and things and people getting saved and healed and filled with the Holy Ghost and then turn and walk away for money or popularity or because, you know, we can't really fully go along with the truth because it shut too many doors. Too many women preachers would kick us out. And they sold their gift. But when we get this attitude of trying to hold the people with fear, he said, have you ever noticed how the people who lead others astray bind them closely to themselves by fear? They say, if the people don't do what they say, or if they leave, then destruction will follow. They are false prophets. For a true prophet will always lead one to the word and bind the people to Jesus Christ. And he won't tell the people to fear him or what he says, but to fear what the word says. Amen. I don't want to bind you to Nathan Bryant tonight. I don't want to bind you to Trevor Eamon or Bill Layton or Morse Bryant tonight. I want to bind you to Jesus Christ. And if Jesus Christ leads you to Timbuktu, to another church, I hope it's a message church or he wouldn't lead you. Let me just say that again real plain. He's not going to lead you back to the Pentecostal church. He's not going to lead you back to the Methodist church or the Baptist church. He's not going to lead you to the Catholic church. You say you don't believe he'd leave somebody to that? Oh, I absolutely do believe he would lead somebody to that. I believe he led some of you to those churches. You remember the Holy Spirit, he said, would lead us and guide us into all truth. Some of you couldn't have swallowed the message whole. You had to get a little Baptist first and a little Pentecostal first and work your way up to it slowly. I believe he led you and guided you slowly to it. Just like he did that man. He said, I went to Billy Graham's meetings, and then I went to Oral Roberts' meetings, and then I went to the Christian businessman, and then I came to Brother Branham. He said, you mean I had it the whole time? Absolutely. It was leading him and guiding him from truth to truth to truth. And he got a little bit of truth over at Billy Graham's meeting and a little bit more over at Oral Roberts's and a little bit more from the Christian businessman. They at least had enough sense to point him to Brother Branham, and then he comes on in into the truth. It was the Holy Spirit leading him forward. I believe he led him to those places. But he don't lead you backwards. He'll never lead you backwards. So if we can get you bound to Jesus Christ, amen, not to fear Nathan Bryant. Oh my, if we don't go over to church with the open door, I just don't know if we'll make it in this age. That's blasphemy. That's antichrist. I can't point you geographically to a place that you have to go to be saved. I can't lead you geographically to a place that you have to go to get the Holy Ghost, except the word. That's the place that God dwells. That's the place that he meets us. Remember, God's place of worship in this age is around his word. Not around Church of the Open Door. Not around Happy Valley or Cloverdale or Branham Tabernacle or Bible Believers. You can get mad or you can get glad. It's the truth. It's not a location. It's an experience. If we get the attitude that it's a location, then somebody feels led to move off to Texas or somewhere or up into Canada or over to some other country. We say, oh my, what happened to them? I guess they just don't have the Holy Ghost anymore. No, it's probably the Holy Ghost leading them to go there. We're not trying to bind the people to us. We're trying to bind them to Jesus Christ. But when a man begins to try to get you under fear, that, oh my, if we follow some other ministry or if we go to some other church and we try to do something else, oh my, what will we do? What will people say? What will my family say? What will this one say? I don't care what will Jesus Christ think about it. If he's leading me, you know, I'll be honest with you. Brother Trevor, I hope you don't mind getting just a little personal. Brother Trevor, I asked him a while back. I said, you know, he'd been praying about what to do, you know, about where to attend church or whether to move to another state or what he was going to do for his family. I asked him a while back. I said, well, how's things going? He said, well, we feel led. As long as we're here, we feel led to go to your church. But he said, if God calls me to go somewhere else tomorrow, he said, I'll go. And I said, that's all I want, Brother Trevor. Because I'll be honest with you, I feel the same way. That might scare some of you, but if he leads me to Texas or Tulsa or Tennessee or Zimbabwe tomorrow, love y'all. And he might just call me to go evangelize for a weekend or whatever. And he may bring me back or he may take me there the rest of my life. Wherever he leads me, I'm bound to him. I'm just because I'm the pastor, I'm not bound to Church of the Open Door. I'm bound to him. Amen. Whatever he wants, that's what I want. That's how we should feel for individuals. If not, we've got a selfish motive, if we'll be honest with ourselves. If not, we're thinking about numbers or tithes or something. You know, if we want to, you know, now, Brother David, Andy's, you know, don't, you can only have so many weekends of vacation a year. You know, if you miss too much, we'll just take your name off the book. We don't have a book. Amen. We don't have a book for you to sign. I recognize people have got to take vacations. People have got to work. People have got to spend, you know, holidays and things with their families. People get sick sometimes. I don't keep a chart on everybody. Now, let's see. Brother Anthony, he's been this many services and he's missed this many. Oh my, I guess he's just not as faithful a member as Brother Jimmy anymore. You know, we don't keep a tally here. I believe that you should be here when the church opens, when the doors are open. I believe we should be. I believe we should have the desire in our hearts. But I also believe that we're humans and that things come up and that sometimes God leads us, just like Jesus went off into the wilderness for a while to get a little peace and rest. I believe that he does that. Amen. I know sometimes the ox is in the ditch. I don't believe that you should try to coordinate it so that the ox is in the ditch every Wednesday night, though. Oh my, we got to keep Friday open, Brother Jimmy, but Wednesday, oh my, we got a busy work schedule on Wednesday night, but we're going to keep Friday night open. Well, maybe your priorities are wrong. Who is this? 1959. The Holy Spirit is not limited to any denomination. It's of God. And it's for whoever will, let him come and partake of the Spirit of life freely. I want to say as well, and don't get scared because I'm going to read where he says it in just the next paragraph, but it's not just any denomination. The Holy Spirit's not bound to a location. He's not bound to a movement. He's not bound to a doctrine. He's not bound to a personality. We've seen all kinds of kingdom builders rise up around the message and bless God, if you're not Thunders, you're out. If you're not Perugia, you're out. If you're not Two Lords, you're out. And they draw and they divide and they raise up kingdoms and they raise up all this, that, and the other. The Holy Spirit is not contained to their pet doctrine. The Holy Spirit is not contained to their favorite preacher or their favorite move or their favorite quote. It's got to be more than that. He said it isn't limited to any of us. It's just something that's happened to us. Oh, I'm so thankful tonight that it's happened to us. Hey, man, I'm so thankful that he didn't just limit it to you and me, but that he's calling all around the world, that it's a global thing. I had a man tell me years ago, said, "My, you got to live within 70 miles of Jeffersonville or you won't be in the rapture." I thought, well, poor Brother Branham, because he was living in Tucson, Arizona when he died last time I checked. People don't even follow their line of thought long enough to, you know, like Brother Branham said about the guy looking at a pencil so narrow-minded that it'd blind himself. Said a lot of them needs their brains baptized instead of their bodies. They don't follow their own line of thought even long enough to realize how ridiculous that it is when a prophet of God stood and said over and over and over, it'll be a global rapture. When Jesus Christ said there'll be one in the bed and I'll take one, leave one, there'll be one in the field and I'll take one, leave one. He wasn't just talking about some of you sisters that sleep in after your husband goes to work. He's talking about a universal revival. The world is again falling apart. 1963, notice, they didn't want the way that he came, so is it today. The churches then wanted their systems anointed. The Pharisees wanted the Pharisee system anointed. The Sadducees wanted the Sadducee system, Herodians, so forth. That's the way today. If God will send anointing and anoint the oneness, oh my, wouldn't they tell the two-ness about it or the three-ness or whatever it is? Wouldn't the assemblies tell the oneness about it? I told you we were right. The Methodists would go tell the Baptists, oh boy, see, we got her. You are wanting your system anointed. But God only promised to anoint his word. Amen. I know that's scorchy, he says, but that's what it is. God never changes. He anoints his word, yes, sir. The anointed promised word for that age is what God anoints the promised word for that age. Amen. I don't want to get to a spot where I feel like Church of the Open Door is the only local church that's anointed, or the only global church that's anointed, or whatever it would be. Amen. God didn't promise to anoint a location. He didn't promise to anoint just one man. He didn't promise to just anoint our system or our doctrine or our creed or our code of conduct or our bylaws. He didn't just come to anoint, you know, just a certain group and say, well, you know, this church over here, they're okay, but all the others aren't. He said it's not that. He's not. Didn't promise to anoint a group or a system or a creed. He promised to anoint his word. And any church that'll truly get behind his word, he'll anoint them. The problem is many times we begin to get outside of his word and we begin to cling to man-made legalism and man-made ideas and all kinds of different things like the Pharisees did instead of staying with the word of God. That's where he'll anoint. You want to see anointing? Stay in the word. Stay behind the word. How could Jesus stand there and say, it is written, it is written, it is written to the devil, and stopped him every time? He said, well, you know, over here in 57, it says this over here. And Jesus said, that's right, but it's also written. Well, but over here in 63, he said this, and I just leaned pretty heavy on that. I believe that one right here. All that's good, but it's also written. Wasn't that the word was contradicting the word. It was that the devil's perverted twisting of the word was trying to say something that the word never said, trying to use it in a way the word never intended. But Jesus came around with the balance of the word and said, if you say that, then that contradicts this over here. Let's take all that was said. Amen. If we can do that in this age, you want to see anointing, keep a balance in the word. Stay behind that word. That's where Eve went wrong. She got out from behind the word and said, well, you know, that theological teaching of the serpent makes a little sense. I think I can understand that. And she got out behind the anointed word into some man-made, worked up idea that was a perversion of the word instead of the true word. The falling apart of the world, again, 1962. Now, over in the book of Hebrews, we read a while ago, for we receive a kingdom. He said, not receive a creed, not receive a system. We receive a kingdom that cannot be moved. The world is falling apart. That's true. And every politician, every denomination, and every church will fall to pieces. But we receive a kingdom that cannot be moved. Again, in the same sermon, a kingdom, not a political system. Not a political system, not a political system, not a church system, not a denominational system. It all becomes Pharisees and doctors of the devil. If we're not careful, we'll drag that stuff right over into the message with us. Oh my, you gotta see it our way. You gotta do it our way. You gotta be on the same page as us. And you gotta get our rubber stamp of approval. You gotta get this and you gotta get that, and you gotta get behind this move or that move, or gotta get behind this church or that church. That's how the Pharisees felt. Well, if you're Pharisee, you're all right, buddy. And then the Sadducees over there said, no, they're out. But if you're Sadducee, then you're really okay. And they begin to organize and get their systems and try to get their system anointed and this system anointed, this idea anointed and all that. And they were looking to that and promoting that. And Jesus came right over the top of it all. And Brother Bram said he didn't join any of their groups, but yet he went to all of their groups. And here he comes, the anointed word. And they had become doctors of the devil. And they were teaching what their father had taught them, but he was teaching what his father had taught him. It all becomes Pharisees and doctors of the devil, but we receive a kingdom, an eternal kingdom, who is the eternal word, who has eternal life by his eternal word to his eternal people, who has eternal life, and we're partakers of this. Oh my, that's the thing. Now, anything that pulls you away from that is wrong. That's a false Messiah. A false anointing. Oh, he said, the brother had such an anointing. He said, what kind of anointing? That's it. Hitler had an anointing too. Khrushchev's got one also. Pope Pius has one also. What kind of anointing you got? It's not anointed with this word and vindicate every word to be truth. Leave it alone. Wrong. If it don't produce itself, then it isn't germatized. It'll show its color. Oh my, but that was for another age. We leave that thing alone, he says. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Yes, sir. He's still the same tonight. He's still the same. Brother Bram said he's the same in every way except the physical body. He's still the same tonight. Amen. He's got a body on the earth. It's a body. It's a bride movement. It's a body move. Amen. But he's not here in a physical corporal body as far as just one man. But yet he's got a body here. But he said he's the same in every way. His attributes are the same. His actions are the same. His teachings are the same. He hasn't changed. He said just the physical body is the only thing that's different in this age. He said anything that teaches different and contrary to that, he said, it's a false Messiah. Leave it alone. Anything that comes and denies the word says, no, we can't take that. We'll rip that page out of our Bible. We'll rip that page out of the message. We don't believe this. We don't see that. You better leave it alone. It's a false anointing. You say you think that brother's lost or that person's lost or that church is gone or they're just serpent seed. Absolutely not. But if they're contradicting this, they've got a false anointing on them. Now, they can be delivered of that just like many of us were that had a false anointing on us back somewhere. Maybe you was Baptist with the Baptist anointing. Maybe you was Methodist with the Methodist anointing. Or maybe you come out of some doctrinal move around the message and you had a Thunders anointing or a Perugia anointing or whatever. Brother Bram said Hitler had an anointing. Khrushchev had an anointing. Mussolini had an anointing. Pope Pius had an anointing. But it was a false anointing. But yet there was something that was drawing you higher. drawing you to more of God, drawing you to more truth, drawing you to a true anointing. If he did that for you, let's not just draw everybody else out that doesn't see the way that we see. They may have a false anointing on them, but that doesn't mean God can't bring them along just like he brought you. We need to pray for one another. A lot of times when we preach these things, we walk out of here and we think, oh my, he got them tonight. Well, I hope I got us too. Hey man, we need some correction too. We need some lining out too. I don't know about you, maybe you all are, but Brother Nathan hasn't reached perfection yet. You know how I can tell? These boots are still planted on the pulpit. If I had reached perfection, I'd just take a step and I'd say, well, it's been nice knowing you all, but I'm just going to go on like Enoch did, and I'll see you all when you get there. I haven't reached perfection yet. But yet, Paul told us to be perfect. Jesus said, be perfect like your Father in heaven is perfect. How are we going to do it? Not in ourselves, but yet the Holy Spirit working through us. He's perfect. He wasn't looking at me when he took me in. He was looking at the blood. Amen. So when he looks at me, I am perfect. And when you look at me, you think, oh my, that wasn't a perfect sermon. He said Moses instead of Noah, and he did this. He said temporal instead of temporal, and he did this and he did that, and he sang this wrong, he sang that verse wrong, and all my Brother Furman had to step in and help him out. And you look and you see imperfection, and God looks and he sees perfection. And that's not up here on the platform, that's to every one of us that's got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He's looking through the blood. I'm thankful for that tonight. So we try to preach the truth just as hard as we can, but we try to preach it in love and to extend a hand out to somebody else, not just to say that, well, they're wrong, so they're lost. No, if they're wrong, I hope that God will call to them and bring them just like he brought us. I hope that he keeps taking us further into the word and further into the truth, and that we don't just draw a circle and draw everybody else out like the Pharisees and say, yep, Church of the Open Door is where it's at. Yep, Pharisee, Sadducee, Herodian, whatever, this is where it's at. You better be careful of those spirits in this age. They're still right here in human beings today. But yet the Holy Spirit is here in human beings today too. Amen. I hope we can stand like Jesus and say, if you don't believe me, at least believe the works that God's doing. Because it's him that does it. It's him that does the works. We're doing what we've seen our Father do. There's a lot of other people. Don't blame them. They're just doing what they saw their Father do. Even Judas and even Pilate, they were just doing what they saw their Father do. They just didn't have the same father that we did. You grow up and maybe some of you brothers, you brush your teeth all funny and stuff and your wife makes fun of you. You say, that's how my daddy brushed his teeth, so that's how I brush my teeth. I'm just doing what my father did. People make fun of us. Oh, they're a little Pentecostal. They like, you know, they've got drums and guitars and stuff over there, and they like to shout and scream and holler and praise the Lord and raise their hands and cry and slobber and snot at the altar. Well, guilty as charged. I'm just doing what my father taught me. When the Holy Ghost fell on the day of Pentecost, they was doing the same thing, running out there, staggering like drunk people. Amen. I'm happy to be identified. They asked Brother Branham that time, they said, did you have any relatives that was ever in federal prison? He said, yeah, I had a brother, Paul, that was. Amen. I'm glad to be identified with men like that. Amen. We're identified tonight. You're going to be identified somewhere. So you can be identified in the devil's camp, or you can be identified in God's camp. You can be identified that your works are his works, or you can be identified that your works are his works. So it just depends. Brother Branham said you're anointed either from above or you're anointed from below. And sometimes that doesn't even have anything to do with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, whether we believe it or not. There's a lot of people out here that are just as lost can be, and they can still get anointed sometimes from above. And some of us that have the Holy Ghost, and you get mad and slam the door and go in and holler at your wife, you recognize, sorry, Lord, sorry, honey, sorry, kids, that was a little bit of anointing from below, but I'm going to go and repent and ask God to take that thing off of me. Amen. Every action that we make, it's anointed that direction or that direction. Amen. And a lot of times we want to blame the devil for everything. Oh, he did this and he did that. Bless his holy name. No, his name ain't holy. Don't give him too much credit. Don't give him too much credit. God, the Holy Spirit within us, if we just yield to him, we wouldn't have to be giving the devil credit all the time. We'd say, you know what? I started to do this, but then the Holy Spirit anointed me a different direction. I started to get pulled this direction, but then the Holy Spirit just turned me right around. I'm so glad that I went his direction instead of getting dragged down the other direction. Amen. God bless you tonight. If the musicians would come, I won't hold you all night, I promise. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. If we could fully comprehend that, I don't believe a sick person would walk out of here. Nobody would walk out with fear about what tomorrow would hold. Nobody would be worried about their bills. Nobody would be worried about whatever they got going on in their life. If we could recognize he's just the same today as he always was. If we were sitting in a boat like the disciples said, as Brother Branham dramatizes it in Testimony on the Sea, and we could sit there and he would step his foot over the boat and get in and sit down with us and say, children, what do you have need of? You think we'd worry about our bills, our health, our children, or whatever the lawyer or the doctor or anybody has said? We'd say, Lord, here's what I have need of. And you're right here, present tense with me in the boat. But he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's with you in your boat tonight. As we looked at Sunday morning, you may not be able to see him physically, but because Brother Bram said he's in an unseen form, but he's still here because he promised he would be. If we could just get that through our humanistic thinking, that he's here present with me, we could go through life without any fear. The Bible said he hasn't given us a spirit of fear. The disciples were a little worried when he wasn't in the boat. It was rocking. It was torn back and forth, and the sails were maybe getting ripped, and it said even the waves had come past him so much that the boat was filling with water. But when they saw him come walking on the sea towards them, Brother Arnie, and they saw him get into the boat, and he said, peace be still, and even the winds and the waves obeyed him, I don't think they had a worry in the world. And the same one that spoke to the winds and the waves, he's here present tense. Not just in this building when we come in on Sunday and Wednesday, but he's present tense in your car. He's present tense at your home. He's present tense at your job and at your school. He's present tense. If we could really get a revelation of that tonight, we could go to bed, not have a fear, not have a worry, and wake up the next morning the same way to recognize he's in the boat with me. Amen. God bless you. Got a prayer request came in. Said Jared Prakash burned his arm with hot oil from a skillet, splattered and got burnt. We want to remember him in prayer tonight. Let's just bow our heads together and agree together for this request. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, for little Jared, as his arm got burnt, Father, Lord, we recognize that you're still a God of Hebrews 13 and 8, that you're still a healer. Lord, that you're able to heal him even just now, Father, and take away, Lord, any symptom, Lord, any pain, Lord, any burn on his arm, Father, you're able to take it away and heal it completely. Lord, you're able to heal it in such a way that there wouldn't be a scar, that there wouldn't be a mark, Lord, from it. Lord, I just ask that you touch him tonight. Heal him completely, Father, I pray. Take away any pain. Lord, we'll give you the glory and the praise for it. Lord, be with these requests that were read tonight. Lord, I know there were many and they were needy. Lord, some of them very urgent. Some of them, Lord, people in the hospital with head injuries and people that are facing surgeries. Lord, I just ask you to go to each one tonight. Lord, I know there's many unspoken requests. Families with loved ones that aren't serving you, and financial situations, marital situations, Lord, all kinds of problems that your people are facing. But Lord, help us to recognize tonight that you're in the boat with us. Lord, our boat may be torn, it may be ragged, it may be tossed about on the waves. Maybe Satan's tried to lie to us, he's tried to drag us under. But if we could just recognize tonight that you're in the boat with us, Father, every fear, every doubt, every worry could be cast aside to recognize that the master of the wind is riding in our boat with us, Father. Oh, Lord Jesus, how we love you tonight. We thank you for your presence here. We thank you for how you move amongst us. Thank you for the truth. Thank you for your word, Father. We love you tonight. We thank you for all things that you're doing. In Jesus Christ's name, amen and amen. Amen. Help me sing it tonight. My boat of life sails on a troubled sea. Ever there's a wind in my sail, but I have a friend who's watching over me. When the breeze turns into a gale, I'm so glad tonight. We're so blessed. There's
make your sun shine again. I know the master of the wind. Oh, sometimes we soar like an eagle to the heights above the peaks. Our soul can't be found. Then some old unexpected storm, it may drive us from the heights. It can't bring me low, it won't bring me down. Oh, 'cause I know the master of the wind. I know the maker of the rain. Oh, and I know he can calm your storm, make your sun shine again. Oh, Lord.
surely been good to me. Oh Lord, 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 you've surely been good to me. Oh Lord, 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 you've surely been good to me. You have done what this world could never do. You showed me the message, you gave me peace, you've surely been good to me. You showed me the message, gave me peace, you've surely been good to me. Showed me the message, gave me peace. You've surely been good to me. You have done what this world could never do. Oh Lord, 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 you've surely been good to me. Oh Lord, 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 you've surely been good to me. Oh Lord, 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 you've surely been good to me. You have done what this world could never do. You've done much more than I deserve. You've surely been good to me. You've done much more than I deserve. You've surely been good to me. You've done much more than I deserve. You've surely been good to me. You have done what this world could never do. Oh Lord, 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 you've surely been good to me. You've surely been good to me. Oh Lord, 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 you've surely been good to me. You have done what this world could never do. Oh Lord, 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 you've surely been good to me. Oh Lord, 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 you've surely been good to me. Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Oh, greater is he that is in me. Greater. His overcoming power. Oh, greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And on the day of Pentecost, a rushing mighty wind, it blew upper room, it baptized all of them, and with a power greater than any earthly foe. Oh, I'm so glad I've got it too. I'm gonna let
God bless you. I forgot. I do that from time to time, you know, but we had a lot of text messages and things come in today, but Sister Christy had texted Sister Rebecca and I, and she had come up for prayer on Sunday night, I believe it was, Sunday night or Sunday morning, I believe Sunday night, and she'd had a spot on her side that they were concerned about, and it had continually got bigger and had become a lump, and she came up for prayer, and we'd asked prayer for it, and she said by Monday it was smaller, and by Tuesday it was completely gone. Amen. So we want to praise the Lord for that tonight. Amen. And she had come up for prayer for some other symptoms as well, and she saw the doctor about that, and they're recommending some different things. But I am just simple enough to believe that the same God that could heal her of the lump can heal her of the symptoms as well. So let's just agree together and pray about that situation tonight, that a testimony would come forth from it. Brother Lee, would you come tonight and just dismiss us in a word of prayer before we go? And just want to say good to have all of our visitors with us, Brother Fuzz and Brother Dougie and the different ones. Brother Morris was with us tonight. I think he had to slip out at the end of service, but different ones that are visiting. If I missed anybody, you're welcome, and I'm glad to have you here too, and I apologize. But I think most of everybody else's home folks or frequent visitors or things like that. But good to have everybody with us tonight, and good to be worshiping the Lord in spirit and in truth. What a blessed people we are to be able to say that we have both. We're truly blessed. God bless you, Brother Lee.
Good God he is. You know, the devil, he wants you to look at your situation, but God wants you to look at the promise. Amen. If he can get you to look at your senses, he's got you. But God wants you to look at his word. Let's go believing this week. Amen. Let's bow our head. Father, we thank you, Lord, for a simple gospel of Jesus Christ in this late hour. God, it's not mixed up with doctrines or education. It's just simply your prophet said that angel of the Lord came to him and said, if you can get the people to believe, not even cancer will stand in the way. Oh, what a mighty God we serve tonight. Help us, Lord Jesus. Strengthen us. Be a leader to us and a guide in every situation. Lord, we're just believing upon this, what's been asked, Lord, tonight, and all these requests that's been made known, Lord, tonight. Father, we ask that you would just help us, Lord, to overcome. Give us strength, encouragement. Lord, be a leader to us throughout the week. Lord, keep us safe on the highways. Bring us back. Lord, help us come expecting something from you. We ask it all in your precious name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
When I hear all these testimonies, this little chorus comes to mind. Help me sing it before we go.
He careth for you.
That's a promise we have tonight.
He careth for you. He careth for you. And through sunshine or shadow,
you saints, let's sing it as we go.
Oh, he careth for you. He careth for you. And through sunshine or shadow, he Shine.